sexually abused starting at the age of 8. I have struggled with alcoholism and suicide most of my life. I have been diagnosed with PTSD, bipolar disorder, and borderline personality disorder. I have made multiple suicide attempts. I had no hope. Then I learned God loves us so much. He provided the only way out of this brokenness through His Son, Jesus, who came down into this world and lived perfectly as a human being. He allowed Himself to be killed on a cross. He died a criminal's death as punishment for our sin. He was buried. Then, on the third day, He rose from the dead, proving He was the Son of God. I turned from my sin and put my faith in Jesus and the power of His death, burial, and resurrection. He has overcome my struggle with alcoholism and suicide. Jesus is the power of God in my life. Has anything like this ever happened to you?
Hello, everyone. Let's get ready to awaken.
That is Dave Davenport.
My name is Bruce Carroll, and I'm here with my lovely bride, Nikki. Say hi, Nikki.
Hi, everyone.
And we are fired up about the show today because we are interviewing a great guy, a great friend, and a brother in Christ. Before I bring Dave in, let me remind our listeners that Awaken Me Too is a radio program about real people with real stories following a real God. Awaken Me Too is meant to inspire and encourage other followers of Jesus, as well as those who might be listening who haven't yet trusted God with their lives. If you're listening and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you are going to hear how wonderful and powerful He is and how He alone can transform anyone's life from brokenness and sorrow to peace, joy, and eternal life in heaven. Thank you to all who are listening. I know today's show is going to encourage all of you. So without further delay, I want to welcome Dave Davenport to Awaken Me Too. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Bruce. Hey, Nikki.
Hi, Dave. It's great to be here with you.
It's awesome to be here.
Man, we are so excited to have you, and I've been looking forward to interviewing you, and so is Nikki, because we know your story, and we want you to share it with a lot of people so that they can be as blessed as we are. I just want to take care of a little bit of information right at the front end, like where did you grow up?
My family moved around a lot, so I grew up in Missouri, Illinois, Tennessee. We moved every couple of years, so I don't really have any roots. I claim Tennessee is home because those were the happy days of my life where things weren't quite as chaotic as the rest of my life.
So did you have a lot of chaos in your life as a small child?
My life was chaos. I mean, my family life was chaos, everything, even outside of it. And as I grew older, chaos just followed me.
Did you come out of a broken home?
No, it wasn't a broken home, but there was mental illness on both sides. My mother would go into the mental institution. At a young age, I was separated from her for 3 or 4 months at a time when she was in the mental institution. And I didn't understand all these things.
Yeah, that had to be hard on a small child.
It was just craziness.
So were your parents churchgoers? Did you know anything about the Lord when you were young?
I grew up going to church. I won't say all of them were functional churches. Some bad things happened in church. That's where I had my first bit of tobacco, men at church. There were a lot of things that happened, and they weren't always good. So I saw a lot of craziness and was exposed to a lot of craziness, not just at home, but in the church.
Now that you've said that, can I allude to an event that I'm sure shaped your life as a young man?
I was raped by a deacon in the church that my family attended.
Wow.
For a period of 3 years.
What did that do to you?
It gave me a lot of insecurity, and it turned me into where I felt that I had to control everything around me. I had to try to control all of my environment, including the people,
sure,
regardless of who they were. I would manipulate them, and if I couldn't get them with kindness, I learned anger was a good tool also. I was angry at this man, and I found that I carried this anger around until I was 52 years old. But, you know, I'm not ashamed of that anymore, because Ephesians 5 tells us that anything that's exposed to the light becomes light. So I'm able to hold that up because,
amen,
Jesus overcame that. And I've found a lot of people have had that same experience. Different situation,
yes,
but the same experience.
It's amazing when I share my testimony, how many people will come up to me and say, you know, that happened to me. I have had so many people come up and tell me, I've never told a person this. But when you stood up there and said that, I felt compelled to come and tell you.
And when they see that Jesus has overcome it in my life, it gives them hope. that he can overcome it in their life too.
Amen. And so how did that event being violated by a deacon in the church, somebody that you should have been able to trust, how did that form your view of God? Were you angry at God? Did you blame God for that?
It's a very interesting thing because what happened was anger. I won't say it was at God.
It had to go somewhere.
Right. I can't say I ever blamed God for that, but it was everybody else. That anger got taken out on anybody that was around me that was close to me. If you were beyond the wall, you were safe because I didn't want you to see the real me. But anybody that got inside that wall, man, they paid because all bets were off and I was willing to dump on you because you were there. I didn't know any other way. My wife used to tell me, if you love me so much, how can you treat me the way you do? And you know, I was baffled. And it cut me to the quick because I truly did love her, but I didn't know how to show it. And I couldn't explain why that anger got taken out on her like it did.
Well, I mean, it had to go somewhere, right? And you had not yet found out that you could lay that at the foot of the cross.
Right.
So it only makes sense that it had to go somewhere.
I came to the belief that I didn't know. Let me figure out how to say this. I was never sure there was a God. But there was something inside that always told me there was.
Right, because we're all born with eternity in our hearts, right?
I mean, Romans is true. I understand Romans 1, but there was something that always told me, but I could never find that power. I could never find a way to reach him. I couldn't make any connection because I was always trying to please him myself. I didn't understand the gospel. So I was trying to please him on my own. And the power that I wanted, it was pride.
I wanted that power so I could use it over other people.
I was a manipulator. I learned to manipulate because I didn't want anything like that to ever happen again. In my mind, if I could control everything around me and get the people to do what I wanted to do, I was safe. I soon learned that I felt like I got the love and the affection that I desired by manipulating people. Also, if I couldn't get what I wanted through manipulation, I learned the other side of the spectrum, I would just explode.
And, right, you'd like channel back into that anger again.
Right, and out of fear, they would conform to what I wanted to do.
So, Dave, we all come to the crossroads. We all come to the end of ourselves, right? I would love to know how you came to Christ. What was the situation? What was the circumstance? What was the person that maybe God used to get you to a place to where you knew you were helpless and hopeless and you needed God? How did that happen?
It wasn't one single event that brought me. It was a series of events, starting with my second wife leaving me and taking the children. And me not being able to see the children, it was real easy to get a judge not to let me see them because of my mental illness. It was losing my job, losing my life savings. All I was left with was a car and some clothes. I had lost everything. July 2nd, 2014, I had my last drink. And that's probably the first time I ever listened to the Spirit. I wasn't a follower. I had had a beer and I was getting ready to order another one and something just told me, don't do it. That was the last drink I ever had. At that point, he began to work on me. On the 4th of July, 2 days later, I'm walking around ready to kill myself. I'd loaded a gun, put it to my chest. I'd actually measured on my chest where my heart was so that I would hit it. Just as I was started to squeeze the trigger, my then 17-year-old daughter walked in the door. She was supposed to be in Arkansas on a river trip. I heard the door from the garage slam, and I panicked, and I threw that gun into a closet. I had promised my wife that I wouldn't do it in the house because they had seen me carried out several times before, and she was afraid that she would come home and find me dead, or that somebody would. I was overcome with shame. Had she come in a half a second later, she would have not only heard the shot, but then found me bleeding. And so I told God, I need you, and I need you now, because I don't know what to do. Somehow, the verse from Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find. And I said, God, if you're really real, I'm asking right now. So please, be true to your word and show me. And it was within less than a week that things began to happen. A man started talking to me. And I realized, wow, God's talking to me because he was telling me things that had just happened earlier in the day. I mean, it's not like he knew and it wasn't like he was trying to predict the future or anything, but I was like, wow, it was like he was there. But I realized it wasn't a coincidence anymore. It was God talking to me through this man. And then I had several other experiences where I just knew it was beyond coincidence. and that God was looking down on me. He knew my name, and he knew me, and he loved me.
Mm. Amen.
Amen. You know, Luke 15 tells us there is rejoicing in heaven over one soul saved. And it's important that the word of God and our testimony always remain strong in us. How are you doing that today, Dave?
You know, God is so good. He's poured out his grace on me. Mm-hmm. He's brought people into my life that have poured into me. Somebody invited me to Awaken Memphis, and Henry got up and started talking about sharing. And I knew I had to be there because that's what God had put on my heart very early. When Christ took hold of me, I was in court with my divorce. And I was down there sometimes 3 times a week. And I began to share the gospel. I didn't know a whole lot, but I shared what I knew because I wanted them to know what I had found. I've moved around a little bit and I've come back to Memphis. And then here's a man standing and telling me, hey, we'll train you. How many shares have you had this week? And I'm thinking, I really don't know how to share. I just kind of fumble my way through it. And he's offering the training. Man, I came and I was hooked. I share in the grocery store line. I share with the people I come in contact with. But, you know, he's given me the grace to come into that relationship. He told us, I'm the bread of life. I've learned how to pray. When I first came, anybody I saw praying or said something about prayer, I'd walk up to him and I'd say, how do you pray? I grew up in a church where there was all these these and thous, and it didn't seem real to me. And then I hear people just talking to him like a person.
Yeah, like they actually had a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Like they knew him.
Yes.
That was what was so amazing, and I would ask people.
Amen.
And, you know, the best advice I got was, you know, I just talk to him. I just pour my heart out to him. When my heart aches, I tell him, God, I hurt. My heart aches. And when I'm happy, I've learned to thank God. I've learned to thank him for the things that he's given me. And then when the Spirit convicts me of something wrong, man, I'm quick to go to him and to humble myself and confess that sin to him and to repent and turn away from it. As you do these things, you grow in him.
I love that there's so many examples in the Bible for us on how to pray and to live. In the Psalms, David just simply showed us through how he wrote how to pray and how to cry out to God. And it's just beautiful.
I read the Psalms a lot. Mm-hmm. That was the first thing that I realized. Somehow, every time I turned to a psalm, he would talk about how his body was broken because he hid his sin. And when he confessed his sin, he was healed. God would bring healing. And I realized, and I've learned this.
Yeah.
I've suffered from mental illness. I've been diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, bipolar disorder, PTSD, alcoholism. As I lay these all at his feet, James 1 tells us, he who lacks wisdom, let him ask for wisdom. I begin to ask, God, show me, where does this come from? Not the mental illness, but the anger, the hatred, and all these things. And as he began to reveal it to me,
yeah, that
man, you're holding on to this anger from a man who's dead. He died in prison, but yet he controlled me. And as I let go of that, these things begin to fall away.
Yes.
It wasn't controlling me anymore, because now
yeah.
I have a God who is in control, and the anger just melts away, and everything that comes with it. He gave me the tools. He gave me the ability to talk to people. We weren't meant to walk this life alone. He put people like you around me. He put people like Henry
right, and
several other friends that I can talk to, and I can call them when I have a problem.
Yeah, to like bear each other's burdens, just like the Lord says.
What part of God's story drew your heart to him, Dave? I mean, he kept sending light and salt your way because he didn't want to leave you out in the darkness by yourself.
I always heard about Jesus. I couldn't equate how a man dying on a cross did anything for me. One day, somebody told me, Jesus was God come to earth. He put on flesh. He took on our form, but he was God. And he came to this earth to show us how to live. And I began to think about that. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. That's incredible. Had friends that were into Eastern religions and various other religions. And I was looking at those religions because God was drawing me. I had this thing that I grew up in America, so we were Christians because that's what the majority of people in America are.
Or they say they are.
Well, that's what they claim to be, yeah.
Right.
And so I began to look at the other religions. This person told me the God of biblical Christianity loves you so much that you don't have to work to please him. You can't please him, as a matter of fact, because if you could please him, you wouldn't need him. You would be a God yourself if you were that good. And then he told me, he came down. He sent his son down, put on human flesh, so that you could be restored to the right relationship and have a meaningful relationship with him.
Amen, which is what we have to do to please him. I mean, I totally understand what you're saying. God doesn't really need us, but he does want to have fellowship with us. And the only way that we can please God is via faith, which you entered into.
Right.
And as a result of that, then you began the relationship that you have now. What does your life look like now?
You know, the outward part didn't change that much. It's not like I got my job back. It's not like I got my house back. It's not like I got my wife back. Mm. But he began to restore relationships. I have relationships with my children now. I have a really good relationship with my first wife. She treats my children like her grandchildren, my two little ones. Mm. Relationships started to be restored. I have joy now. I don't miss the things that I lost because I've learned to find my fulfillment in my relationship with Jesus Christ. He gives me exactly what I need. He doesn't always give me what I want, but he began to show me the way to overcome the sin in my life was to trust him to change my affections. And as he began to change my affections and draw me to him, sin just started to fall away because I didn't want to do it anymore. I didn't cuss. My 11-year-old daughter, from the time she was born, I would cuss. And she'll tell you, my papa doesn't cuss like he used to.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
He doesn't cuss anymore. He used to not be able to say a single sentence without cussing.
They really begin to see a difference, don't they, because of what Jesus does. You know, people that watch us, they are often just living for today. And they are also looking for peace and a type of joy and a purpose for their lives and hope. What would you want to tell someone that's listening right now that are looking for these very things that still aren't getting fulfilled? How would you tell them that they can be fulfilled?
The big thing that I tell a lot of people is right from Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. And if we can humble ourselves, and I mean truly seek God, and not because we want our own power or anything else, but because we need help, and to seek him and ask him to help, he's faithful. These aren't empty words. These are promises. He promised us that he would reveal himself. He promised that he would come to us. He promised that he would give us life and give us life abundantly. Hmm. Not just survival.
Amen.
Because even though I don't have the money that I used to have, I don't have the things that I used to have, I have a relationship with God. And that I have fulfillment that I never had in my life.
And more riches than you ever had.
Hmm. That's right. And my daughter, she's 22 now, but I've heard her tell people. It's funny because the less my dad had, the happier he became.
Amen.
And I told her, I said, it's not happiness, it's joy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I said, because happiness is fleeting, but joy is lasting. And because I'm not struggling to get things for fulfillment anymore, because Jesus is my fulfillment.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, it comes through a direct personal relationship with the God of the universe.
Yes.
And that comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Well, I tell people, I came looking to get cleaned up. I came looking for help. But he gave me more than that. He took me in. He did clean me up. But not only did he clean me up, he gave me a new heart.
Mm.
And he put his spirit in me.
Right.
And he made me his child. Because I'm now a child of God. I'm not a beggar anymore. You know, I'm a child of God going out and bringing that message of reconciliation to those. You can have the same thing today. You can have the same life that I have if you're willing to humble yourself and turn away from your sin and follow Jesus.
Dave, there's so many people the same thing has happened to, and they have turned away from Jesus completely. I think about how you came to know Jesus so late in your life. What would you like to say to someone who has done many things wrong in their life? Someone who may say, it's too late for me to come to Jesus. Someone hiding or running from God. What would you say to them?
It's never too late. Mm-hmm. I was 52 years old. I had lost everything. I had destroyed two marriages. I have five daughters. They didn't want to be around me. I have two younger children. My second wife was afraid for their safety, so she took them away. I mean, I lost everything. My life savings, my house, my job, everything. But you know, God used that to get my attention because he is always with us. Psalms mm-hmm. tells us, even in the darkness, it's not darkness to him. We can go to the deepest, darkest place and he's with us because darkness is light to him. And he is the God of light. And he seeks us always. He's always seeking us, looking to draw us back. But he took me and he changed my life. He granted me the grace of forgiveness, forgiving the man that raped me. I had carried this hatred and this anger for so long. When he gave me the grace to forgive that man, all the anger, all the cursing, the alcoholism, the desire to drink, all these things just began to fall away. It was powerful. Jesus tells us several times that we have to forgive to be forgiven. I came into that understanding because I couldn't do it in the flesh. I struggled. I hated this man. But I realized I was a sinner just like him.
Amen.
And there was nothing I could do to him that was worse than the darkness that was in his mind. As I came into that, I began to realize I'm a sinner too. I need that grace just as much.
Amen, Dave. And Nikki and I really love your spirit. We have gotten to know you over these months, and you have such a heart for the lost. And you're so wide open and transparent. And your love for people that are perishing is so obvious and so infectious.
Yeah, and I loved what you said earlier, how you shared that we can never escape from God's presence. There is no place we can go from his spirit. If we are in the darkness or if we are in the uttermost parts of the sea, no place. There's no place that we can go to hide from him. He sees everything we do. He finds us no matter what. And all we have to do is surrender our lives to him. And we can all come to know him if we truly want to know him. He loves us no matter what we've done.
That's right.
All we have to do is ask him into our hearts. He died on the cross for our sins. And he wants to redeem us and take us to heaven
Amen.
Forever.
Amen.
And that's better than the alternative.
Dave, when I look at you, I think of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone be in Christ, to be a new creation, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new.
Amen.
Isn't it great that us three sitting here can claim that,
mm-hmm.
that we are brand new in Christ. Whatever has happened in the past is under the blood. We're fully forgiven for. You have such a joy and a peace and a smile on your face every time I see you. I know that it's the Lord because he shows out and shows up through you.
Yes, it is.
You know, I've found when I hear people's stories, I'm thankful that they're a new creation. And I'm thankful that I don't know that old person because they're so different. I mean, I'm amazed at some people's stories when they tell me about their past, when they tell me about what they did to end up in jail or prison. I've known people for several years and never seen anything like that, what they tell me, what their past was and what I read about them or what other people tell me about them. And it's a beautiful thing because Jesus comes and he brings us life and he gives us that new life. He gives us that new heart and he puts his spirit in us.
Amen. Well, and like you said earlier, we have life and we have it more abundantly. And with God, there is always hope.
Amen.
Amen.
I lived my whole life without hope, and that's what God gave me. He brought hope in Jesus.
1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for joining us today, Dave and Nikki. Dave, you're such a blessing, and thanks for everybody who was listening. And rest assured that as long as Jesus lives, there is hope.
There is hope.
For more real people with real stories following a real God, point your browser to JesusHelps.me. That's JesusHelps, one word, .me. Then click on the Listen To Shows button on the Awaken Me Too tab.